I have a question for each of us here today, and it is this. What are you waiting for? Or more correctly, for what do you wait? This is actually a twofold question, because few of us actually wait for things. We want the newest, most improved, most updated, shiniest, flashiest, biggest, or maybe smallest, depending on the item. But you know what I mean. If we have to wait more than a couple of seconds for a computer screen to load, we feel like we've been severely inconvenienced. What model smartphone do you have? How long have you had it? The requisite 2 years so you can get an upgrade? In our family, part of the downward spiral of the joy of Christmas has to do with the fact that we don't wait for Christmas to receive the much coveted item. If we see something we want, if something tickles our fancy, it's just one click away. For those things that we want, most of us are not particularly skilled at waiting. And our world, our media, and especially our social media do a remarkable job of rewarding us for our impatience. I have to confess to you that I recently ordered an item from a company other than Amazon and found myself becoming quite frustrated when the item didn't arrive in 2 days. It took about a week for the item to arrive, and by the time it did, I had almost decided that I didn't need it after all. Imagine. I want what I want, and I want it now. And probably most of you are the same way. The flip side of this waiting conundrum is that while we are in many ways quite poor at waiting, when it comes to many aspects of our life, we are actually quite good at waiting. It seems that we are experts at waiting to do those things that we know will be beneficial for us. Our lives, both external and internal, are cluttered. We have more stuff, more pounds, more work, more activities than are good for us, yet we wait to do something about that. We wait for the right time to get our spiritual and physical lives in order, and we seem to believe that we have all the time in the world. Jesus tells a parable about a wedding. Weddings were huge events in Jesus' day. Yes, they are huge events now, often hugely over-the-top expensive events, but in Jesus' day, a wedding celebration lasted about 10 days. It was a celebration of the two families joining together, and there was much protocol. And part of the protocol involved the groom leaving his home and journeying to the home of the bride to retrieve her and bring her back to his home. There would be those whose job it was to light the way back. Remember, there are no external lights other than the moon and the stars. So the job of lighting the way for the groom was important. The young maidens in Jesus' parable are in varying states of readiness. Some are ready to the hilt. They have prepared for any eventuality, while others are not so wise. They have just what they think they will need. The problem, then, is the fact that the bridegroom does not return in the time they presumed that he would. Those who thought they had enough oil and didn't bring any extra find that their lamps are almost out. And if this were a parable about helping your neighbor, at this point we would wonder about the maidens referred to as wise because they're not very helpful of the other neighbors. But this is not about sharing your coat with the stranger, turning the other cheek. It's about being ready. So the maidens in this parable who are wise send the maidens who are foolish into town to purchase more oil. And while they're gone, the bridegroom arrives. The party begins and the door is closed forever. I so want to be counted as one of those wise maidens. I don't want the door shut in my face, me there panting and begging to be let in. And I know you want to be with the wise maiden group too. None of us wants to be thought of as being foolish. And even more than that, none of us wants to be left out in the dark with the door shut in our face. That possibility is so hard for us to imagine that we rarely even bring it up. Jesus sometimes uses words like wailing and gnashing of teeth, and we don't want to hear that. I know I don't want to hear it. I also know that I'm good at waiting to do what I need to that will open the door to the kingdom right here, right now. Like most of you, I'm just so busy, and I so don't want to look foolish. It's foolish in the eyes of the world to not work ourselves to death. It's foolish to take time for our own care and the care of our families. Fast food is so convenient that it's foolish to take time to prepare a healthy meal. So what is it that you're waiting for? Is what you're waiting for worth the wait? Or do you wait when you shouldn't and not wait when you should? As if the producers of This American Life on NPR were tracking with our lectionary, yesterday's topic was taking a leap. Unfortunately, this segment's highlighted did not include a leap of faith. But the segment that first perked my attention was about a New York City bus driver who had been driving the same route for 17 years. One morning, out of the blue, this otherwise very predictable, very responsible bus driver headed right out of the driveway instead of left and started driving south away from his route. He drove to Washington, D.C., a place he'd never been before, and had a conversation with a police officer just outside the White House, something he'd never seen before. He picked up a hitchhiker somewhere farther south who rode with him for 2 days. He kept driving south until he ended up outside Miami, all the while in the borrowed bus. He swam in the ocean, something he'd never done before, just before he was arrested for stealing the bus. He was surprised by the arrest. He thought he merely borrowed the bus. His employer saw it differently. Ultimately, though, he was set free, and the charges were dropped because of the public outcry when his story reached the media. People responded to the driver's breaking the rules and doing something he had always dreamed of doing. Before you go too far with this and think that Jesus is calling us all to act irresponsibly or illegally or do something that will cause harm to yourself or your family, remember, the parable is not about waiting to do what is right. It's about waiting and being ready for Jesus. Part of being ready for Jesus is having time and space in your life for Jesus to enter. Part of being ready for Jesus is paying attention to the ways in which Jesus is trying to get your attention. If you are miserably going through the motions of life, it is unlikely that Jesus will be able to get your attention. If you're rushing through life, absorbed in your own busyness, then it's unlikely that you will notice when Christ is passing by. In our reading from the apocryphal book, The Wisdom of Solomon, we are told that wisdom reaches out to those who seek her, that she is easily known and graciously appears. Wisdom comes to those who take time to seek her out, who pay attention to that which is important, to those who wait on those things that should be waited for, and at the same time quickly rush to be ready. We want to be counted as those who are wise, not those who are foolish. What are you waiting for?
Let us stand and affirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten not of man, from the one who made with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven.
great mercy and promise forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Here today. I'm glad that you made it on this brisk morning. There are several things that I would like to highlight for you, especially, again, pay attention, back of the order of service. Please, please, please read these things. This is our week to serve at the Soup Bowl. If you have any time in the middle of the day and you have not signed up, that I ask you and plead with you to please do that. We have a very low sign up this time, so if you could possibly work that into your schedule, I think you will find it very beneficial to do that. There's a box on the table in the back of the church that is for convention delegate nominations. Our convention is early in February this year. The first weekend, full weekend of February. If you have not been a delegate to convention, I would like you to consider doing that. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's not even painful. It's actually kind of fun to see all the wonderful things that are going on in the Diocese of Alabama and take part in that. So if you would like to do that, or if you know someone else that would like to be a part of the nominated to be a delegate, we will vote the first weekend in December. Is that correct? November 30th. They're due November 30th. We will vote the next week. So I will have that accurate for 10:30. Do note that Tuesday is Veterans Day and the office will be closed. We will have the service, though, the regular 11:30 healing service on Tuesday. That we will have a Veterans Day service on Veterans Day. But for now, I would like to offer a prayer for all of our veterans. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we honor our veterans, worthy men and women who gave their best when they were called upon to serve and protect our country. We pray that you will bless them, Lord, for their unselfish service, the continual struggle to preserve our freedom, our safety, and our country's heritage for all of us. Bless them for the hardships they faced, for the sacrifices they made, for their many different contributions to America. We respect them, we thank them, we honor them, we are proud of them, we pray that you will watch over these special people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. Last but certainly not least, there are other things in the back of the order service that I'm not going to talk about, but if you have not attended a stewardship party, these are great fun ways that we can get together and talk about all the things we love about our Grace Church family and about our church and many ministries of Grace. There will be one this coming Thursday evening at 5:30, and then the last one will be on the 18th, which is a week from Tuesday at 5:30, and if you have not been a part of that, I ask you to please sign up. If you have not signed up or have not got a call, please see me at the end of the service and we will make sure that you get signed up for that. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
We long to magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, who standeth in the highest.
All glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. For that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thy only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that this precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make, here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission for our sins and all the benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, being filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. And although we are unworthy for our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not laying our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Hallelujah, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Hallelujah.
In the gifts of God, there's people of God. God which passeth all understanding, keep your heart and mind from the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Yeah. How you doing?
How are you, Jim?
Fine.
Phone again. It came. He was at a box.
Things you can do on the computer, like Word.
In the organ, oh no.